Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there, welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. And this episode, at this point, doesn't have a name. It's untitled. It's got a number. It's number 353. But it doesn't have a name. And the reason for that is because this is an unplanned episode. I haven't really planned anything other than just to kind of talk to you about some general news and things. Nothing serious. No big deal. But this is one of those unplanned episodes, and for that reason, it doesn't have a title. So this is one of those episodes in which I just sort of start talking, and the idea is just to kind of share some news just and chat a little bit about stuff in general, but I don't have a specific focus, and so we will see what happens. And based on what happens in the episode, based on what stuff comes out of my mouth into the microphone here, I will then come up with a title for the episode. So I don't know, maybe some random thing will come up. Maybe there'll be a tangent, and that'll create the name of the episode. So we're just going to go crazy, just see what happens, you know, just let the thoughts flow, and we'll just see where the whole thing goes, you know. It's just a crazy free-form experiment, I suppose. Now, it's normal at this point that I tell you about sponsors, right? Because, you know, that's what podcasts do. Have you noticed? I don't know if you listen to any other podcasts, but it's very normal now in podcasting for there to be sponsorship. And so people mention their sponsors. And so I've got two sponsors. Obviously, the first one is iTalkie. You know all about them because I've mentioned them a few times. And I got some comments actually about iTalkie. I actually got a comment today from a Lepster called Mamen, who is, I believe, from Spain. And she left a really, really nice comment on my page today saying, thank you for all the amazing podcasts. Thank you for your comment. Thank you. Honestly, thank you so much. It means a lot when I read things like that. It's just lovely. And the comment was like this. She said, these last four episodes have been hilarious and so amusing. You're such a hardworking man. Yes, I am. I just want to share with you my great experience with iTalkie, she says. And she said, I thought that you might like to read it. She said, I've been using it for 3 months, more or less, and I'm so glad. I've been with three different teachers, and now I stay with two, and I can't decide which one I should stay with because the two of them are great. They're so different, but so good at the same time. And it's fantastic because one of them has entirely different thoughts from mine, but so respectful and friendly. And it's so interesting to understand another point of view and try to explain things and thoughts to her. She's so polite and so different to our passionate and boisterous way of behaviour, and I must stay with her to learn. On the other hand, there is Sue, who is fantastic. It's so great to have a lesson with her because she's always in a good mood and so positive and helpful. I love the way she empathises without forcing it. And we have lots of things in common, so I love to have lessons with her. I think she has a natural gift to teach. Maybe I should stay with both of them. What do you think? Okay, that's kind of a good problem, isn't it? It's a good problem to have. Do you stick with both or do you just do one? Well, why not stick with both? I think that staying with both is a great idea because then you get kind of the best of both worlds, don't you? Because it seems to me that Sue is just a really pleasant person to spend time with. It would be great if I knew her surname so that other Lepsters might be able to find her on iTalkie. So it's Mamen. I think the person commenting here is Mamen. I'm not sure, but anyway, you'll know who you are if you left this comment. If you feel like it, let us know the surname of Sue and the other teacher as well, so that maybe other Lepsters might want to have some lessons with them, because they sound great. So it sounds like Sue is really just a nice, easygoing person that you like to spend time with. But the other one, I don't know who her what her name is, but the other one seems to be more challenging. She's got different opinions. I think it sounds like a good balance. And if you're happy with both, and if you're able to continue with both, then do both. I don't know if Sue and the other teacher know each other. Maybe they could sort of share ideas so that you don't end up doing the same thing. But I think that there's nothing wrong with doing both at the same time. I mean, the other advantage, if you did just one, it would mean that you could spend all your time with that person and they could perhaps tailor the learning to you more specifically. But I think staying with both is perfectly good. It's good to get different voices and good to speak with different people to get variety. The main thing is that you're having a good time and you feel like it's being useful and you're being pushed and you are relaxed in the teaching and the speaking experience. Then it's all good, I would say, from there. I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks. I think that some people listening to this, if they were to take lessons with iTalki, for example, they might want a more structured approach. And I'm sure there are teachers out there who could do that. But Mamen, and I think it's you, thanks for the comment. And that's my advice. I think you could probably carry on doing both. But get in touch with me again if you want to ask me about that. All right. Anyway, so that's Mamen, who's been having a great time on iTalki. And you could do it too, ladies and gents. Just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk. And then you can get started. There's no obligation. You can just check out the service. You don't need to pay any money at the beginning. Just have a look at it and check out some of the teachers' profiles. And then if you fancy it, you could take trial lessons with people. And they're cheaper. You can just test people out for like half an hour or something. Arrange a trial lesson with a few teachers that you like the look of. You can search for teachers in the search, like the search bar, and you can choose different options like exam courses or business English or general English or whatever. So find a few teachers you like and test them out and take some trial lessons with them, and when you find one that you think is the right kind of person for you, then you could consider, you know, taking some classes with them or just doing some speaking time with those people. And when you do that and you buy some time, then iTalki will give you 100 iTalki credits, which you can use again in the future. That's because you're a Lepster, you see. That's the deal. So that's good. The other sponsor is Audible, and that's still going. Teacherluke.co.uk/audible, or click an Audible logo on the website, and you can still get a free audiobook. Just go on there. They've got loads of titles to choose from, and you can just download a free audiobook. Boom. There you go. Job done. So that's the episode hasn't even started yet, because that was just the sponsorship mentions, a slightly longer one than normal. But now it's time to start the jingle, and here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is a journey into
the English language.
A journey into
the DNA of the English language.
Really?
The DNA of the English language. Now, that's a really quite a strong claim.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Who are you?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
You know who I'm talking to.
I'm a school teacher. I teach English composition.
Oh, really?
Yes!
Yes, I am an English teacher, and I do teach English, and you're listening to my podcast. It's called Luke's English Podcast, and just in case you didn't already know, this is a podcast for people who are learning English, and it's pretty popular. It's quite popular. It is. Let's see. It must have had about 12 million downloads by now. It's been going for 7 years. There you go. It's won awards. I have won awards before. And talking of awards, I know that my regular listeners might be interested to know what happened at the British Council Elton Awards just last week. So I mentioned a few episodes ago that this podcast was nominated for a British Council Elton Award. The Eltons are basically, they're like the Academy Awards for English language teaching. So they're the English language teaching industry's top awards. It's like the Oscars for TEFL. TEFL, that's Teaching English as a Foreign Language. So the Eltons are like the Oscars for TEFL. And I got nominated in one of the categories. I got nominated for Best Actor. No, I didn't. Or Best Director. No, I didn't. Best Supporting Actor. No, it's not like that. The nomination I got was in the category of Digital Innovation. Actually, hold on a minute, because I've got the brochure. I've got the brochure downstairs from the awards. So I need to just pop downstairs to get it so I can read a few things from the brochure. So just hold on a second. And with the magic of podcasting, I'm going to press pause. You're not going to notice. You're not going to even have to wait for me to go downstairs and come back up again. So I'm just going to hit pause and then instantly I'll be back. It's like time travel or something. So I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to breathe in and then I'm going to breathe out. And in that time, I will have gone downstairs, picked up a brochure and come back. I could have done it in this the time it's taken me to say this. Anyway, right, done. I've been downstairs and back all in one breath. That's not how I go downstairs. It's not like diving underwater. I don't know why I did that breath thing. I think it was just to prove that I could do it quickly. I'm actually out of breath now. I'm right. Okay, so the Eltons. Celebrating innovation. These are awards that are set up by the British Council and Cambridge English, which is like the University of Cambridge's English language department, and they organise all of the English language exams like IELTS and FCE and CAE and CPE and stuff like that. So these are like the top institutions in English language teaching. And every year they have this these awards. And according to the brochure, it says the Eltons, now in their 14th year, are the only international awards that recognise and celebrate innovation in English language teaching. They reward educational resources that help English language teachers and learners to achieve their goals. In total, there are six awards that reward... Huh? In total, there are six awards that reward ELT products and services, in addition to the Lifetime Achievement Award. As before, applications have been judged by an independent panel of English language teaching professionals using the Delphi technique, which is like a very special technique for judging things in a completely impartial way. During the ceremony, we will also be celebrating the winners of our ELT Master's Dissertation Award and recognising the recipients of our ELT Research Partnership Awards. So it's all very, very professional and very well respected and everything. And my podcast was nominated in the Award for Digital Innovation. And as it says here in the brochure, it says this award recognises the innovative use of technology aimed at learners or teachers of English. So apparently I was deemed... My podcast was deemed to be an innovative use of technology for learners of English. And so here I am being innovative and talking to you, my large audience of learners of English around the world using digital technology, podcasts. And apparently I'm doing it well enough for it to be nominated for this award. So first of all, I should say that a nomination on its own is brilliant. I mean, that's a really big achievement. I'm really, really proud just to have been nominated. Now, you might be thinking, Luke, did you win? And the answer is no, I didn't win. I didn't win this one. You can't win them all, you know? You can't win them all. No, I didn't win. But for me, being nominated was just fantastic. And I went to the awards ceremony last Thursday evening. And it was a proper red carpet ceremony. So I went with my wife. You know, my wife, she loves red carpet events. She's a big fan of the Elton Awards. So I went with the wife. And we kind of brushed shoulders with some of the up-and-coming talent from the TEFL world, including also some of the well-established big names of the TEFL industry, as I just closed the door there. And I brushed shoulders with the likes of, well, let's see, who... I think probably the biggest name of TEFL that I saw was Michael Swan. You know Michael Swan? Now, if you are an English language teacher... I'm sure that you know Michael Swan, and he's a great author who wrote some of the classics, including the grammar reference book, A Practical English Usage. You know that one? A Practical English... I can't even say it. A Practical English Usage by Michael Swan is like the Bible for TEFL teachers because it's a great reference guide for, you know, all of the aspects of the English language. So if you've got a question about grammar or a question about a vocabulary or something like that, some issue, you can just open A Practical English Usage and find the right page and it'll explain everything for you. It's like the Bible for TEFL teachers. So Michael Swan was there and all of the, you know, the glitterati of the TEFL world. And so I was there brushing shoulders with them, quite literally brushing shoulders with the English teaching world's finest. And the ones who won in my category were Archimedes Inspiration, who are a company, and they've created this app. And it's, to be honest, to be fair, it looks like they've put loads of work into this. It's like a really big project. And it's a full-on company. There's a director. They have staff who do all of the coding. They have programmers and stuff. And they're based in the Czech Republic. And basically, it's a mobile application. It's on iPad at the moment, and they're developing it for iPhone and Android. And essentially, it features movies that have been adapted into fully-fledged materials for modern foreign language learning. It's convenient, it's fun, it's interactive, and it's entertaining. And it's complicated. I thought that it was just that you watch the movies and you could sort of pause it and look at the subtitles. It's actually a lot more complex than that. And you get the transcripts of the movie and translations in two columns while the movie is running. And you can cover up the original translation. You can cover up the script. You can kind of go back to any line of the script and play it repeatedly. There are bilingual audio flashcards. The user can use them to create... They can create new flashcards easily from the script and practice vocabulary and drill pronunciation. And there are little footnotes that clarify idioms and cultural elements of the text. And also there are grammar and comprehension exercises in the exercises part. And apparently by learning through films, users can improve their vocab and pronunciation as well as the ability to understand authentic language. And the judge, there's a judge's quote here in the brochure that says that movies... Enjoy Languages, that's the name of the app, is a motivating real-world language learning opportunity using great content. And I'm very impressed by these guys. Like, I met a couple of the guys from the team, and they were there with the award. And, I mean, they travelled all the way from the Czech Republic. They won the award. It was really nice to meet them. And I was obviously, they were really proud to have won it. They had this glass award. They let me touch it. Okay, they let me touch the award. So I did touch the award. I didn't kiss it. I didn't go that far. They offered it to me. They were like, I was like, can I? I said, can I touch it? And he's like, yes, you can touch it. You can kiss it if you like. And I was like, no, let's not go too far. So it was very nice to meet them. And they look like they've been working really hard on it. So good job to them. It's called Movies, Enjoy Languages. So Movies, Enjoy Languages. I think if you search, if you've got an iPad, you can find that on the App Store. Movies, Enjoy Languages. And one of the amazing things is that they've managed to get copyright agreements. They managed to get copyright from Disney and Paramount Pictures. Amazing. Absolutely amazing that they've managed to get the rights to movies by these big film studios to use in their apps. And it's because it's for educational content. I think that's the reason. So they've done really, really well. So they definitely deserve to win. And they've got a great product. And they've put tons of work into it. And they've got, you know, a team of people working on it. So well done to them. Let's see. I also hung out with some of the people responsible for a service called EssayJack. EssayJack looks really cool. It's basically a structured writing tool for academic writing. And it's pretty complicated, but essentially it's like sort of an online platform. I think that they sell it to institutions and schools and things like that. And it's basically like this platform that allows teachers to help learners to write academic essays. And it features every bit of support that you could imagine for the teacher and the learner in developing the skills for writing academic essays. And I'm sure it's going to be a big hit. I mean, they are currently, I think they're looking at finding partners or business partners for launching this platform with different organizations. I understand that one of the things that they've managed to achieve recently is to incorporate an essay jack button in Microsoft Word. I think some versions of Microsoft Word will incorporate Essay Jack. So you can actually press the button and Microsoft Word will use Essay Jack's platform to help you write your academic essays. Pretty good. So just search for Essay Jack. S-A-E-S-S-A-Y Jack. J-A-C-K. Essay Jack. Just Google it and you'll probably you'll find the trial version, or you'll find some demonstrations of it and stuff like that. And the judge said that Essay Jack was the most comprehensive structured writing tool that he's ever seen. Very nice. So my podcast was in the category as well. So it was very flattering to be sort of considered worthy to be in this award. You know, like when you think about the other people in this award and the amount of work that they've put into it, I'm quite flattered to be with these hardworking professionals. The judge said about my podcast that it is in fact collaborative, fun, real world, mobile friendly learning experience. So a collaborative, fun, real world, mobile friendly learning experience. That's nice. Yeah, so there you go. I suppose collaborative because of things like the transcript collaboration and other things like that. So there we go. So I didn't win, but it was nice to be considered worthy enough to be nominated. So I'm very proud, and I will continue to display the badge on my website that says that I was nominated for the award, and I consider it to be a very high accolade indeed. So, I mean, maybe I should go for it again next year. I don't want to be one of those people who's just constantly applying for an award until the organisers feel they need to give it to me just to stop it being embarrassing. But maybe I will apply next year. Well, let's see. Let's see what happens. The Macmillan Dictionary Awards are coming in August. So anyway, that's something to deal with later on. One person left a comment. I think it was Marie from France, left a comment on my page saying that she checked out the other nominees and she couldn't really understand why they were different or something like that. Essentially, the reason that I was in the digital innovation category is because I use digital technology in an innovative way to help people learn English. And all the other people in my category have done that in some way. For example, Essay Jack using this online tool. Movies Enjoy Languages is an app, and there are other things like, for example, there's a downloadable game called Wibu, which is a sort of like a Legend of Zelda type game that allows you to learn English while you play the game. There's The Listening Post by Paul Driver, which is like fascinating, cool way of integrating audio with like posters, and amazing. Like somehow you can, he's developed this thing where he can put posters up in his language school. And if the students in his school have downloaded an app, that they can go up to the poster and scan something on the poster and it launches audio. I don't know. It's like an interesting way of incorporating audio into the classroom on an individual basis. And as a teacher, that would be interesting because you could kind of set up some sort of dictation exercise where the students in your class are listening to different things and they're doing it all through their iPhones. So that's a kind of a cool thing. There's so many inventive products on display here. So it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the wife and I enjoyed drinking some champagne and walking around and mingling with other people at the event, and we enjoyed walking along the red carpet. I don't think I've ever walked along a red carpet before, so that was a first. So that was a lot of fun. So there you go. That was the Elton Awards. What else has been going on? Some other people recently have been contacting me about the weather here in Paris. You might have seen it on the news that it's been very, very wet. And in fact, it rained for something like 4 weeks. Almost, it's like between 3 and 4 weeks of consecutive rain here in Paris. Today, it has cleared up a bit. And in fact, the sky is blue. There are clouds. There are sort of clouds looming in the distance. So I can see there as I look to, which direction is that I'm looking in? I think this is, I'm looking to the south, where am I looking? Southwest. I'm looking towards the southwest now, I think. And there are some dark clouds there in the distance. But for most of the day, it's been fairly clear, which is a very, very welcome change indeed, because 3 weeks of constant rain is just horrible, especially at this time of the year, because, you know, you need sunlight. I think everyone has been suffering as a result of this dodgy weather. It really kind of makes you feel a bit depressed. You feel under the weather. You literally feel under the weather. If you feel under the weather, that's an expression that means you feel a little bit unwell. You feel tired or depressed, or maybe you've got a bit of a cold. You know, how are you today? Oh, I'm feeling a bit under the weather, to be honest. Meaning I'm feeling a bit sort of like I've got a bit of a cold, feeling a bit ill. So when you don't see the sun for 3 weeks and it's raining every day and it's grey and dark and chilly, then it does make you feel a bit under the weather. So the sunny, hot weather today is a welcome change. And you might have seen on the news that there's been lots of flooding because the Seine, the main river here in Paris, the Seine, has almost burst its banks. When a river bursts its banks, it means the water flows over the edges of the river and it causes flooding to burst. Burst, you know, like pop. Like it. If something bursts, it means it's sort of, let's say, in this case, it's a river that bursts. The river can't contain the water and the water poof comes out. Also, we use burst for a balloon. You know, a balloon, when it's someone's birthday, you inflate a balloon, and if you're not careful, if the balloon hits something like a needle or a pin or a cactus or something, then pam, the balloon will burst. Pam, I don't think that's the pop. That's probably the better word for it. Pop, the balloon will burst. Okay, so burst a bubble, burst a balloon, or in this case, the river burst its banks. I think the river did flood. It did burst its banks a little bit in some places, and some people's homes have been flooded, and the Louvre, the museum, which I think is it's maybe the biggest museum in the world, Le Louvre, and it contains some classic works of art, including the Mona Lisa, of course. The Louvre had to move a lot of its artwork from the basement in order to, you know, protect it, because obviously the Louvre is right next to the river, and if the river bursts its banks, then the basement rooms of Le Louvre would become flooded, and it could cause terrible damage to some of their priceless artifacts that they have there. So emergency situation there at the Louvre, and they had to like take extreme precautions, but also a lot of people's homes have been flooded. People who live down near the river have experienced terrible flooding, you know, with floodwaters, you know, like a meter or something, or maybe more, a meter of flood water in people's homes. And that must be an absolute disaster. It must be awful to have your home flooded like that. And flood water is always filthy and very damaging. Can you imagine? I mean, I expect their homes will never really be the same again. They'll always have that sort of smell, that musty smell and that dampness. And so I feel really sorry for those people who've suffered from that. Luckily, we live up the hill. So there is a hill in the sort of northern part of the city, Montmartre, and that's where the artists used to live. And on the top of the hill, there is a big cathedral called the Sacré-Cœur de Montmartre, and it's a beautiful sort of cathedral on the top of the hill. We don't live on the top. We don't live in Montmartre, but we live sort of near Montmartre, so we're just sort of down the hill. Halfway up the hill, you could say. And so we've avoided the flooding, thank goodness. But thank you very much for any messages that you sent to me, expressing your concern about the flooding and things like that. We're absolutely fine. And in fact, Paris in general is fine. It's just under the weather a little bit. It looks like it's clearing up, but according to the weather forecast, there will be thunderstorms later on. Which I don't mind. I don't really mind thunderstorms. I like thunder and lightning. I find it to be really exciting and dramatic. And because we're quite high up here in our flat, we get good views over the city, and often we see amazing lightning in the sky. In fact, the last time we had a big thunderstorm here, we took photos of the lightning with our iPhones, because it's amazing, right? iPhones now, well, I guess for a couple of years, they've had this function where you can take like a rapid burst of photographs. So you hold your finger on the button when you're taking your photograph, and it takes like a big rapid burst of photographs. And that's perfect for taking pictures of lightning, because lightning is amazing in photographs. It's just incredible. When it happens, obviously it's too fast. You never really get the chance to appreciate it, because it happens and it's gone. But if you can time it right and you take a burst of photographs and the lightning strikes in the middle of your photograph burst, then you look through the pictures, you will get some amazing shots of lightning. So we took some amazing photographs of lightning before, and it looked fantastic. So maybe if there is a thunderstorm tonight, we'll go up and we'll be careful, because lightning is obviously very dangerous. You don't want to get struck by lightning. We'll be careful, but we'll see if we can get some photographs of the lightning. And that's always good. Yeah, struck by lightning. Yeah, to be struck by lightning. That's the expression. It does happen. It does. You've got to be careful in a thunderstorm. One of the most common mistakes that people make in a thunderstorm is that they shelter under a tree, which is a terrible idea, apparently, because that if you want to get struck by lightning, obviously you don't. Who wants to get struck by lightning? But if you if there is a thunderstorm, don't hide under a tree, because obviously the tree acts like a conductor for the electricity. The lightning is going to strike the highest thing in the area, and often that's like a big tree. It might look like it's a good place to shelter from the rain, but the lightning is very likely to strike the tree. And if it does, then all the electricity is going to come down through the tree. And I, you know, imagine the scene, all the electricity flowing through the tree, but also coming, I imagine the electrical current would branch out from the tree and go through all the people standing underneath it. And that's apparently that's a very common thing. It does happen quite a lot. So, you know, if there's a thunderstorm and you're stuck outside, you might get wet, but it's best to try and find a very low area, like a ditch or somewhere that's very low to the ground, and lie down. Try not to give the lightning anything to strike, because obviously the lightning is going to strike the thing that's highest, you know, any elevated thing, it's going to strike that. So if you're standing alone in a field, then you're going to be the most elevated thing in the area, and the lightning will hit you, and you don't want that, because it can be fatal. It's not fun, I imagine. Golfers often are victims of lightning strikes, because, you know, they stand out on golf courses, and they often carry, you know, metal golf clubs. So it's pretty dangerous. And in fact, last week or the week before, some people got struck by lightning here in Paris. Apparently there was I remember there was a big thunderstorm, because I was teaching at the time, and I heard the thunder. We were, you know, in the class teaching, and there was this very loud thunder like that. And the whole class stopped, you know, we all stopped and listened to it. It was a thunderstorm moving over Paris. And apparently the lightning struck in a park here in the western part of the city, at Parc Monceau is what it's called. Lightning struck a tree there. And apparently there was a group of people sheltering under the tree, and they got struck by lightning, and I think about 11 people went to hospital, and people were in critical condition. I believe that one person died as a result of that. So it's, you know, it's really dangerous. You've got to watch out for the lightning. It's great to look at, but you don't want to actually experience it close up. All right. So that's the Paris weather. Let's see. What else do I have on my agenda here? I'm sure I had some other things to talk to you about. Sorry, We're English, the comedy show. is still going on. Now, I wasn't there last week because I was in London at the Elton Awards, but I understand that some Lepsters came to the show. And they were a little bit disappointed that I wasn't there. Because, of course, you know, you would be disappointed, wouldn't you? If you'd, you know, come to a place in order to meet me and I wasn't there, you'd be gutted, right? Well, anyway, apparently these Lepsters were a little disappointed that they didn't get to meet Luke from Luke's English Podcast. So if that is you, if you're the people who came to see me and I wasn't there, then I'm very sorry. Very sorry to have disappointed you. But, you know, on the other hand, you did get it as my replacement. You did get Amber and Paul and Tom. So you actually got to meet Amber and Paul. So I hope that was nice for you. But no, I wasn't there last Thursday. But I will be there this Thursday. And in fact, I'm going to be doing Sorry We're English with Paul throughout the summer, except in August. I think that the last 3 weeks of August, I won't be there. I'll be away doing something else. But I will be performing in June, in July, and the first week of August, and then probably starting again in September, every Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Pan Am Art Cafe. Paul Taylor will be joining me most of the time. He's going to be away for some dates in June. So for like this week, the following week, and maybe one other date in June, I will either be doing the show solo or I'll be performing with Amber and maybe Tom as well. So the show continues. And if you are planning to come down, then it would be great to see you. And in fact, we've been getting more and more Lepsters at that show, which is really cool considering, you know, I don't have that many Lepsters in Paris. I know I have more and more. They're growing in number. But some people actually travel all the way there just to see us, which is really cool. And right, now I've got a crazy idea, okay? Do you want to hear my crazy idea? Do you want to hear it? Are you listening? You want to hear my crazy idea? Right, I've got this crazy idea, and I don't know if it's possible, but imagine this, right? Imagine this, the Luke's English Podcast World Tour. The Luke's English Podcast World Tour. It's a crazy idea, but it might just work. So now I'd love to do live podcast recordings, like recording the podcast live in front of an audience. And that would be like a combination between doing the comedy show and doing the podcast. I could kill two birds with one stone, do a live podcast recording. I would do that here in Paris, but I just don't really have enough listeners in Paris for me to be able to do that. I mean, I could start doing that, but most of the people coming wouldn't already be Lepsters. They would be like, what's this? It's just a guy recording a thing. They wouldn't know what it was. The comedy show works here because that's fine because, you know, I've got all the material and the jokes and everything. That's fine. But I'm not ready to do live podcast recordings here in Paris yet. I think maybe I am. Maybe I've got legions of Parisian Lepsters who are all ninjas and they're all hiding in the shadows. If you are a Parisian or indeed French Lepster and you'd be interested in coming to see me record Luke's English Podcast live somewhere, let me know. But I know I've got more Lepsters, more fans in other parts of the world. My top countries being probably Russia, Japan, China, also fans in Poland, Brazil, Spain, Italy, and various other places. Sorry if I didn't mention your country. But what about the idea of going to, I don't know, let's say Moscow or St. Petersburg or something like that to put on a show? Would that be interesting to you? I don't even know if it's possible because I don't know any venues. If, let's say we're talking about Moscow, which one do you think? Moscow or St. Petersburg, if I'm talking about Russia, which is the better city for me to go to do a live podcast show? What do you think? I don't even know where I would go. I don't know the city at all. I don't know where I'd stay. It's just a crazy idea at the moment, but it might just work. But I'd need to find a venue. And a good venue, you know, not too big, but let's not be over ambitious. I don't know how many people I could expect to get there, but, you know, maybe on a first attempt, if we could start with about 50 people or something like that, I think that's probably achievable. That's a good enough size, fairly small, but, you know, good enough size, I think, to begin with. I know I've got many more Lepsters in Moscow than that, but I think the main thing is that I get a full room with the right people in it. So do you reckon I could find a venue which would have a stage and a microphone and seating for about 50 people and maybe a place to get drinks or something? You know, a nice friendly place that's sort of friendly to an English-speaking event like that. Now, I don't know how much money I could put into it, but it's just a crazy idea. Imagine that, doing either a public appearance, a comedy show, or a live podcast recording in front of an audience, and I could come to your town. But I just need to know if it's possible. So now let me know. You don't have to be in Moscow or St. Petersburg. You could be in any place at all, any country. If you think that you could get an audience of people together to come and see a show, then let me know, okay? Leave me your comments and let me know what you think about that, because I, you know, I need to know about venue, right? Where would it happen? Size of the venue? How many seats are there? Is there a stage? Is there a microphone and an audio setup? Because if I've got seats, a stage, microphone, audio, and friendly people in the venue who would understand what I'm doing, and who would be willing to, you know, put on a unique show, then I think it might be possible. And then, who knows, it could be the start of some sort of crazy adventure. I could possibly start bringing the podcast to you. Just an idea. Let me know what you think, and we can maybe talk about this a bit more. All right? Okay. So I've just got a couple of other things to talk about before we end this episode. So another one is Euro 2016. Now, I talked about the weather in France, and you know that's received a lot of attention from the media. But also, the European Football Championships are going to start in just a few days. It's the Euro Football Cup, the Euro 2016, and it's a really big one, and it's happening here in France. So I'm going to talk about it. Okay. The problem is that I have not been keeping up with football at all. I mean, I'm completely out of touch. I've just been too busy with work and podcasting and award things and stuff like that. And I'm trying to keep up with the football. I've been, you know, reading about it and watching some summaries of the 2016 Euros. I love football. I love these international footballing events. And so I do plan to cover the Euros in some episodes coming up soon. I just don't know how I'm going to do that. But again, you can leave your comments. What do you think about the Euros? Are you interested in that? Would you like me to talk about football like I did for the World Cup? When was that? 2 years ago. Yeah. All right. Another thing is we got fiber optic internet installed in the flat. We've got fiber optic internet. Before we just had like normal, like a cable connection, broadband. Now we've got fiber optic. Now I know that if you're in Korea or Japan or Sweden or something, you're probably thinking, you've only just got fiber optic now? God, you're late. Yeah, we are quite late here in Europe in some places. So we've only just got fiber optic here in the apartment. And wow, it's amazing. It's like a revolution. It's absolutely incredible. It's going to change my life. Okay. Now, I'll give you an example. It used to take about 20 minutes to upload a 1 hour episode of my podcast audio. 20 minutes it used to take to upload that. Now, with the fiber optic, it takes about 1 minute. Just done. It's unbelievable. Incredible. I uploaded a video onto YouTube, just a private video onto YouTube. It was done in like less than 5 minutes. And before, that would have been like an all night thing. I would have had to try and keep the video uploading all night. And often it just wouldn't work. And now, wham, just goes up in 5 minutes. It's like the difference between, okay, the comparison that I could make is that, you know, a syringe, you know what doctors use to inject medicine into your body with a needle on it, a syringe, okay? Now, imagine trying to squeeze a liter of water through a syringe. Trying to squeeze the water and the water comes out in a little jet and it takes like half an hour to squeeze this liter of water through this tiny syringe. That's what it used to be like uploading an episode of my podcast. Now it's like I've got a liter bottle of water and you just open the cap and just the water just comes tumbling out. It's incredible. So this is good news because it means that I can do more stuff on the internet. And it should mean that I could upload more videos. Because previously it was just problematic uploading videos. It took ages and it was really annoying and complicated. And now it's much more efficient. So this might mean I can do more video stuff. But we will see. I mean, I'm not making any promises because video is a bit of a headache for me. I prefer to keep it simple with audio. But, you know, anyway, watch this space. There may be more video stuff arriving on my YouTube channel at some point. I think that's probably it for this episode. Because my wife's nearly home and it's time to have dinner. So we're going to sit upstairs on the terrace. We're going to eat sushi for dinner. We're treating ourselves to a takeaway this evening. So sushi for dinner and maybe a bit of lightning action as well. But don't worry, we will try our best to avoid being struck by lightning. You will then be able to listen to more podcasts in the future because I'll still be alive. Imagine if I got struck by lightning and I turned into Lightning Man. It's unlikely, isn't it? It's very unlikely. It's more likely that I would just die. That's not a very positive note, is it, to end this podcast on? It's not, is it?
Ladies and gentlemen.
That was a surprise. Ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, on this weird note, this is how I'm going to end the podcast. Thank you very, 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 very much for listening. Okay, what you can do now at the end is do me a couple of favors. One favor that you could do is just leave a comment on the episode, because that's always nice. Another thing that you could do is tell your friends about the podcast. If you like this podcast and if you think that it helps your English, then spread the word. Let your friends know. Okay, I always appreciate that. And word of mouth is one of the best ways to, spread the word, basically. Word of mouth is a good way. It's good. It's a good form of marketing, just word of mouth. So, you know, let your friends know. That's if you like the podcast. If you don't like the podcast, just don't say anything. Okay, if you don't like the podcast, I don't know, what are you doing here? I mean, just hanging around? But if you do like the podcast, let your friends know. Think of people that you know who might like this and just tell them about it. Maybe send them a link or something like that. What else could you do? I think that's it. That's it for the moment. Just keep listening to my episodes. Keep enjoying listening to the episodes and stay positive with your English. The right attitude, you know, just keep the attitude going, and I will speak to you again soon. All right. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Luke's English Podcast.
Can't touch this.
This is a masterpiece of the English language.
All righty then.
Just think of the accolades it's received over the years.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Really?
Yes. I want to get into it, man.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Luke's English Podcast.
And this is Britain at its best.
Oh, you lucky people!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.